Good morning, everyone. It is my privilege this morning to share with you the word that the Lord has laid on my heart during the week and enabled me to put together. As usual, I was encouraged myself with the words of the Lord and with the scriptures and how the message came together. So as Peter prayed, we're believing for all of us to be encouraged by this morning. The title of my message is Watchful Expectations. It is often said that God is far more willing to speak to us than we are willing to listen, and that God created us with two ears and one mouth, and that we are to use those in that ratio, twice as much listening as speaking. So the theme of my message today is time is short, and there is work for us to do with God. Therefore, we must be communicating with him and be in that place of deliberate, watchful expectation so that we know that we're going to be hearing from him and cooperating with him to see his purposes fulfilled in these amazing days. I've been looking a little bit recently at the pronunciation of particularly of some of the Old Testament saints. I don't want to get to heaven and be pronouncing everybody's name incorrectly. So the chap that we have always called Habakkuk apparently is Habakkuk. And he is a minor prophet in the Old Testament with his very own book. Now in chapter 1, he is very busy telling God how bad things were in his day and in the land. And almost defiantly, he says to God at the beginning of chapter 2, "Oh, I know I have been rash to talk out plainly this way to God. I will, in my thinking, stand upon my post of observation and station myself on the tower or fortress. And I will watch to see what he will say within me and what answer I will make as his mouthpiece to the perplexities of my complaint against him." Verse 2, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it so plainly upon tablets that everyone who passes by may be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens by. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it hastens to the end, the fulfillment. It will not deceive or disappoint. Though it tarry, wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come. It will not be behindhand on its appointed day." It's a very powerful word, isn't it, that God gave to him. And I believe that the urgent vision for us in 2026 is that we must be working with God, with the Holy Spirit, in the sharing of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are earnest in our prayers, aren't we, at the moment for our prodigals, our loved ones who are yet to be saved, and even for the stranger whose path the Lord leads us across. But God is also still at work within us to grow us into the image and likeness of his Son, and who only said what he heard his Father say and only did what he heard his Father showing him to do. Becoming more Christ-like and fulfilling God's plans and purposes go hand in hand. We must be more watchful, alert, awake than ever before, and our expectations must always line up with God's expectations and not be our own. Interesting comment here that C.H. Spurgeon makes on verse 1 of Habakkuk chapter 2. "I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me." And Charles Spurgeon says, "There is no waiting on God for help, and there is no help from God without watchful expectation on our part. If we ever fail to receive strength and defence from him, it is because we are not on the outlook for it. Many an offer of help and assistance from heaven goes past us, because we are not standing on our watchtower to catch the far-off indications of its approach and to fling open the gates of our heart for its entrance. He whose expectation does not lead him to be on the alert for its coming will get but little. Watch for God in the events of your life. Expectations. Expectations, but without an alert, will get but little. As a child, I often heard, "Blessed is he who expects nothing, for he shall never be disappointed." Sometimes it was put more simply, "He who hopes for nothing won't be disappointed." I grew up believing that to be scripture, because it started like one of the Beatitudes, "Blessed is he who." No doubt I was telling my parents what I was hoping to get for a birthday present and needed to be reminded you can't always get what you want. I eventually learnt that the quote is real, but not from the Word of God. It was from Alexander Pope, an 18th century poet. In God, watchful expectations are vital. He wants us to be on the lookout for these, eyes, ears, and hearts open, so that we do not miss what he is saying or miss the opportunities that he is giving us. Positive expectations and hope are closely intertwined. And as we are all very aware, the Bible certainly has an enormous amount to say about hope. We read it so succinctly in Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Watchful expectations and hope in God will never put us to shame. God encourages us to have them, and they grow us in him. Biblical hope has as its foundation faith in the God who cannot fail. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word batah has the meaning of confidence, security, and being without care. In most instances in the New Testament, the word hope is the Greek word elpis or elpizo, watchful hope. There is no doubt attached to this word, watchful hope. Biblical hope is the confident expectation or assurance based upon a sure foundation for which we wait with joy and full confidence. Hebrews 11 verse 1, this is from the Amplified Bible. "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses." No wonder faith is a gift, but it is something that we can walk in and hold on to. And that verse, of course, from Hebrews 11, verse 1, carries the whole weight of that chapter called the faith chapter, and it carries that confidence and comes with knowing for sure that we know that we know that we know without any question these things that we have been promised in the Word of God are ours. Our faith is a confident assurance. It's also a watchful expectation. for it is solidly founded upon the rock of our salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how God's going to get us through this challenge, but I do know that he will. He always has, and he always will. The fourth point, our biblical hope is a reality and not a feeling. Feelings have nothing to do with these statements. They often lie to us. Biblical hope is the sure foundation upon which we securely anchor our lives, believing that God always keeps his promises. Hope, or confident assurance, can be ours when we trust in God's word. The reality of eternal life with Jesus comes from the simply declared expectations found in the word of God. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." In John 6:47 from the Amplified Bible, "I assure you, I most solemnly tell you, he who believes in me, who adheres to, trusts in, relies on, and has faith in me, has now possessed eternal life." Biblical hope is a reality. It is a fact. It is truth. It is not a feeling. Feelings may well follow, but biblical hope is solid. Becoming born again through making Jesus Christ our Lord and Saviour and accepting that gift of eternal life means our hope is no longer filled with doubt, but has as its sure foundation the whole of God's word, the entirety of God's character, and the finished work upon the cross of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. What wonderful guarantees. Three guarantees there, from the Father, from the Son, from the Word of God. Hallelujah. So if we have that watchful expectation of the Lord's return and the promise of an eternity spent with him, then our watchful expectation right here, right now, is that he is with us. His love and his care and his presence will never ever leave us nor forsake us, and we will co-labor with him. Fifth point, we must have that watchful expectation that he will guide and lead, hear and respond and speak to us. God gave this watchful expectation to Joshua. It also applies to us. This is from Joshua 1, starting at verse 5. "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." Verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." How many times was that promise repeated to Joshua? No wonder it gave him a watchful expectation of what was to come. And praise the Lord, through Jesus, we no longer have to try and follow the exacting, impossible letter of the law of Moses. which no one ever succeeded in doing. But like Joshua, we must know the word of God. We must know that God is with us, and we must also be strong and very courageous, because the Lord will never, ever leave us nor forsake us. And just as Joshua was commanded to meditate on God's word, we immerse ourselves in God's word. That is absolutely paramount in our walk. Joshua 1:5, I will be with you, I will not leave you or forsake you. Even before Joshua gave his very first command or made his first tactical move as the new leader of Israel, he listened for and watchfully expected to hear the voice of God. It is no different for us. Listening to God is absolutely vital to walking successfully with God and securing his plans, purposes, outcomes, and blessings in our lives. When we do God's will, in God's way and God's timing and with his help, no one and nothing can stand in the way of God fulfilling his outcomes through us. The key is having watchful expectations as we seek the presence of the Lord. In Joshua 1:8, the Lord gave Joshua the same command he issued to future Israel kings in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 17:19 says, "And it," that is the law of God, "shall be with him, and he shall read it in all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them." God's leaders were told to meditate on the word of God every day. It is no different for us. We must come to God's word on a daily basis with watchful expectations and hope that he will speak to us from his word. Now, sadly, our flesh and sometimes the enemy can keep us sidetracked from this most important daily venture. I don't know whether you can hear it in my voice, but I've been battling with a little tickly cough for about 3 weeks now. On Wednesday morning during the week, having just grizzled to anybody in the household who was around that I was a bit tired of these nuisance symptoms, my reading for the day was, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong." And that's from 2 Corinthians 12. The following comment in my little daily reading book was, after that scripture said, "The literal translation of this verse gives a startling emphasis to it and makes it speak for itself with a force that we have probably never realized before." This is it. "Therefore, I take pleasure in being without strength, in insults, in being pinched, in being chased about, and in being cooped up in a corner for Christ's sake. For when I am without strength, then I am dynamite." It made my pathetic reaction to a tickly throat pale into insignificance. I am dynamite. It'll come from that original word dunamis, where we do get the word dynamite from. But the point is that through Christ we can do anything, through Christ who strengthens us. Hallelujah. God's command to Joshua is the same for us. Joshua 1 verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Unfortunately, it's way too easy to focus on our personal problems, and they can consume us. And if we do that, then we are not seeing the God who is able and who is there for us. Joshua discovered that God is always with us, no matter where we are, no matter what is going on, or how overwhelming our problems may seem. The seventh point, be aware natural expectations are not always correct. We have a correct expectation when we see the eastern sky grow pink early in the morning, and we rightly expect that the sun is about to rise. But sometimes our natural expectations are not always correct because of flaws in our logic and the bias of fleshly humanistic hope and desire. Sometimes we get our hopes up based on a false premise or a misreading of the evidence. We form expectations automatically, sometimes without even any conscious effort. And when those expectations are not met, pain ensues, and we often place blame on something or someone who did not live up to our expectations, even if our expectations were unreasonable. I read last week just the headlines mostly about changes to winning lotto were coming soon and that there were going to be more chances of winning than ever before. However, the odds of winning the big prize, Powerball Division 1, I think they call it, will now go from one chance in 38.4 million to one chance in 53.7 million. So if your hopes are pinned on winning Lotto, the big first prize, then your odds are dramatically lessened at this time. We have expectations in our marriages. We have expectations of our children, with our businesses perhaps, with our bosses, with our health and our finances. And sometimes these expectations don't seem to come to pass, but God. These are exactly why our watchful expectations and hopes must be founded and grounded in the God and in His Word. He's the God who cannot fail. So how does God show us in His Word to be expectantly watchful? By listening, reading, and meditating on God's Word. By being aware and alert, tuned in patient stillness, sometimes passive. Being obedient and active, with a heart of thanksgiving and worship. Now, Peter has covered some of these already in his series on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, on hearing God, and he has more coming on this important topic. So I'm just going to touch on these briefly by way of a reminder, just to nudge our hearts in the right direction. So how does God show us to be expectantly watchful? Through listening, reading, and meditating on His Word. As Peter shared, the surest way to hear from God is through His Word. Expect to hear from God when you read His Word daily. Be watchful, be aware as you're listening. Set wise time and be diligent and jealous. Don't be robbed of precious time with God. He does want to speak with His precious children. Be encouraged by these scriptures. John 8:47. Whoever is of God listens to God. Those who belong to God hear the words of God. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. Proverbs 1:5. The wise also will hear and increase in learning, and the person of understanding will acquire skill and attain to sound counsel, so that he may be able to steer his course rightly. It's wonderful, isn't it? The wise also will hear and increase in learning, and the person of understanding will acquire skill and attain to sound counsel, so that he may be able to steer his course rightly. We should read and study and devour the Bible because it is God's word to us. He is speaking to us personally and intimately. And of course, we know that the word of God is God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. In Psalm 119, verse 15 to 16, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Isn't that just wonderful? All those promises in there, and there are a whole lot more, but just how profound and even how simple they are in their constant reminder to us that we can be watchful and expectant through listening and reading God's word. Hallelujah. So how does God show us to be expectantly watchful? The second point, by being aware and alert, tuned in. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Keep alert, persevere in keeping alert. We must be alert because Jesus is coming back soon. We must be alert because of the opportunities that God has put in our path and will continue to do so. We must be alert because we know our own hearts, and unless we are alert, we will always tend to drift from Jesus. Hebrews 2 verse 1 says, therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Like a boat that is not anchored in the middle of a lake or the middle of the sea, we will always drift, always move from our original position. We need to remain anchored in the Word of God. We need to actively and alertly fight against our tendency to drift. Jesus says to his disciples in Mark 13, verse 37, this is from the Amplified, and what I say to you, I say to everybody, watch, give strict attention, be cautious, active, and alert. Those were Jesus' words to his disciples, and he says, I say to everybody. That's down through the ages to us. How does God show us to be expectantly watchful? In patient stillness, sometimes passive. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, let be and be still and know, recognize and understand that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. We often quote that just in simpler terms, don't we? Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 62 verse 5 says, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. In order to really know God, inward stillness is absolutely necessary. There is a perfect passivity, which is not indolence, not laziness, not avoidance behavior. It is a living stillness deep within us that is born of trust, of hope, and of faithful and watchful expectancy. Unlike other religious practices which teach you to dangerously empty your mind in being still, as Christians we are to meditate on the words and the works of God, but from a place of growing trust and calmness. So totally the opposite of the world's increasing anxiety and stress. In that place of calmness, expect to hear these types of questions in these days. What is it about you? How can you be so calm and so assured in the midst of increasing calamity? Watchful expectancy will have us ready to give an account of the hope we have within us. That hope is Jesus. By cultivating patience and stillness, we can become more Christ-like and better reflect his love to the world around us. So the next statement, how does God show us to be expectantly watchful? By being obedient and active. Like well-trained, obedient soldiers in the greatest army in the world, the army of the Lord, I'm in the Lord's army. Psalm 119 verse 35 says, make me go in the path of your commandments, for in them I do delight. Psalm 112 verse 1, praise the Lord, how joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commandments. Psalm 128 verse 1, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. Luke 11:28, blessed are those who hear the word of the Lord and obey it. So we can be watchfully expectant when we are being obedient and are being active with what the Lord has given us to do. A popular thought in recent years has been, if you're not hearing from God so much lately, check that your obedience is up to date. What was the last thing God required of you? Have you put that into practice? If not, it could be that there is the reason why God seems so silent. We all must make sure that God's operating upgrades in our lives and are kept up to date and installed. So, the last point. How does God show us to be expectantly watchful? With a heart of thanksgiving and worship. Psalm 95, starting at verse 2. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. Verse 5. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. That's a warning to us from Psalm 95. The rest of that psalm continues with the children of Israel spending 40 years in the desert, wandering through difficult battles and experiences, and God not allowing them to enter into their rest for all that time because they did harden their hearts and were definitely not watching and being expectant, and they were certainly not being obedient to what God clearly required of them. We are privileged to live in amazing days, and I believe we have not got 40 years to spend wandering around in the wilderness. God has been at work in our lives to prepare us for this exact pivotal moment in history. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 11 in the Amplified says, now these things befell them by way of a figure, as an example and a warning to us. They were written to admonish and fit us for right action by good instruction. We, in whose days the ages have reached their climax, their consummation and concluding period. That's us. What a privilege. And God's instructions are very clear. We are without excuse. So the time to be more watchful and expectant is now. The time to be fulfilling these things is right now to be listening, reading, meditating on God's word, being aware and alert, tuned in patient stillness, sometimes even passive, being obedient and active with a heart of thanksgiving and worship. And God encourages those who trust in the Lord to expect good things from him. Scripture to close, Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles, mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. We're coming down the home straight. The finish line is in sight. Let's finish with watchful expectation. Let's finish for the Lord strong.